Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance with extra benefits like personal accident cover.
Well, with me now are two members of a band who became the soundtrack to the lives of a whole generation of people in this country in the 80s and 90s. Their debut album, Paradise in the Picture House, spent 5 weeks at number one and became one of the most loved Irish albums of all time. Well, to the delight of many of their fans, the Stunning are currently touring again. Steve and Joe Wall, good morning to you both. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miriam.
Thanks so much for being here. Listen, we're going to chat in a moment. First, you're going to play for us, taken from that album, Paradise in the Picture House. This is An Empty Feeling.
Collar up, the cutting wind is blowing down the river. Kids begging on O'Connell Bridge, how can they stand the cold? People stray from matinees, all starry-eyed and in a daze. From paradise in the picture house, they spill out on the road. Got an empty feeling deep inside, hit me when we said goodbye. I can't find a thing to say. I wish to God I could smile. This love was like a hurricane. It tore the top off everything. Fuel the fire and fan the flames. What a nice surprise. But a silver cloud came drifting in, a satin shroud it covered in. I never found the secrets that were hidden in your eyes. Got an empty feeling deep inside, hit me when we said goodbye. Can't find a thing to say. I wish to God I could smile. Up shop, it's 6 o'clock right on the dot. Shutters clatter to the ground like big steel overcoats. Right now this place is not for me. Home is where I wanna be, surrounded by the memories of things we used to do. Got an empty feeling deep inside, hit me when we said goodbye. Can't find a thing to say. I wish to God I could smile. I'm losing.
Thank you. I love that song, Come Back Over Here. I know that's one fans always ask for. I was looking at your website. You strike me both as musicians that really thrive on a live audience. Is it good to be back performing live again? For the moment, anyway.
Yeah, it is. It's great. It's been a strange kind of couple of years, really. I suppose it is that now, really, isn't it? A couple of years. Now, we did some... There was a few restricted shows, you know, and then shows where they couldn't... It was, the goalposts were changing all the time, so there was a couple where audiences were allowed, and then... A small number were allowed, then none were allowed. So we did a few gigs like in front of video cameras, and they're awful. They're just like, and what that made us realize is the difference it makes having an audience, because like I was forgetting lyrics to songs and everything because you're just two cameras there and there was no focus and there's no engagement. My mind was just wandering, but an audience keeps you engaged. You know, I couldn't, I maybe it's that
when you're playing in front of an audience, you know, it's in the moment. What happens, happens. There's no kind of rewind and do it again. Whereas in recorded situations, you kind of, in the back of your mind, you think, oh, we could do another take of this or something.
Yeah. And that's why live is always good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just live. Now, it's incredible to think it's over 30 years since the Stunning formed. Your brothers, of course, Steve and Joe. But remind me, Joe, how the band came together.
Well, at the time, it was, I think, it first got wind of the Stunning happening in probably about 1986 or early 1987. I was traveling abroad. I'd left college without finishing the course. I was studying art in Limerick, and I left after a year down there, and I started traveling around Europe, and I ended up working in a hotel in Switzerland, and I was there, and I got a letter from Steve, and Steve, he was living in Dublin at the time.
Are you younger or older, Steve?
Older. Steve's a couple of years older than
Thank
me.
Thank you.
Yeah. He looks younger now, though. Yeah, I got a letter from him, and he was full of this. He was full of beans. He had this idea to start a band. It sounded like a super group he was planning on, you know, a big band that was going to really sort of rock and entertain. And he mentioned about moving down to Galway, and he already had earmarked Cormac as the drummer. And he mentioned Derek as well, that he was going to ask Derek. And he asked me, would I come back and play in the band? And I leapt at that, because at that stage I'd had enough of Swiss chocolate and cuckoo clocks and the snow. So yeah, that was it. I moved back to Ireland.
We all moved into the one house, an old farmhouse in Galway. We all lived in it together. It was kind of like the Monkees or something, you know. We took turns cooking, and we just played music all day and learned songs. We were learning a lot of cover versions at the time as well.
Your two brothers, tell me about your family. Where did you grow up, and how many are in your family, Joe?
So there's five siblings. There's me and Steve, Anna and Helen, and Vincent. So we were all bar Vinny were born in London. Our parents met in London. And
Both Irish.
Our mum was from the Liberties, and our dad is alive and kicking down in Ennistymon, County Clare, where he was born and reared.
Wow, great.
And they met probably in some Irish
Cricklewood dance
hall.
Or something like
dance
that.
Cricklewood.
Kilburn. Yeah.
Yeah, so they met in the sometime probably around early 60s in London, you know.
And then they came back here.
Well, they lived in London for a while, and they had four kids quite rapidly, one after another. We're all quite close, and like our birthdays are like there's maybe about a year and a half apart in some cases. Yeah, and then they eventually decided to move back, and I think it was really so that my mother probably wanted to be closer to her family, and you know, she's like five sisters in Dublin and her parents and stuff, so. We moved back to Dublin first and lived in about three different houses in Dublin. It seemed to be very easy to move back then. That was the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, they just moved house all the time.
And then our dad had an opportunity to take over his family business, which was a shoe shop in Ennistymon. So we all moved down there. And that was, I had just started first year in Temple Oak College. And then we moved down to Ennistymon, and we had been down there on holidays and all, so we knew it, but we didn't know it like as a place to live in or go to school. So myself and Joe were enrolled in the local Christian Brothers, and the girls were enrolled in the convent. And
how was that?
There was a bit of a shock, because I suppose we had the impression that from, because we were going down there on for summer holidays, that we thought that life would be like a summer holiday all year round. At least I did. Then I realized actually you're going to have to go to school and, you know, the Christian Brothers and all that.
It was very different to what it is now. In the 80s, there was a lot of, immigration, a lot of unemployment. And the town is completely revitalized now. It's a different town to what we moved down to, you know. I mean, when we lived in Dublin, we had, you know, this, like in the late 70s, we had multi-channel television. You know, we were getting the BBC, we were watching Top of the Pops and comedy shows and all that kind of thing. When we moved down to Clare, there was our granny was still living there, and there was an old black and white TV in the scullery kind of at the back of the shop, which was the kitchen and everything. That's where everybody basically sat in that room. And there was one television station, RTE Television, in black and white.
Ennis Diamond really did feel like it was in another era, because they even had a bell ringer. They had a town crier.
Wow.
In Ennis Diamond, who'd walk up and down the street. It was a guy called Joe Tobin. And he'd walk up and down the street on a Wednesday, ringing the bell, and he'd announce the Whist Drive in the Falls Hotel Whist and Drive. The Cayleys in Kilfenora.
Tug of War down in the pleasure grounds. Yeah. And, you know, and that we were just, I mean, it was just a whole other world to us.
And you mentioned all your siblings there, and into every life, obviously. I always think most families have some tragedies or darkness. And I know I've spoken to you before about this, Steve, but your brother Vinny obviously was in a bad crash in 2017. How is he doing now?
He's doing well. You know, because it's like a traumatic brain injury, there's still, you're never quite the same after it. So, I mean, to the naked eye, I mean, he seems absolutely normal. He looks normal, but the issues he has now are invisible to other people. You know, they're internal issues, you know, things, you know, sensations. And like he doesn't drive anymore, for example, which is a big drawback when you live in rural Ireland, you know, not to be able to drive here and there. So he relies on his wife, Amy, to do all the taxiing. So he has, you know, things like he doesn't really handle crowds of people and noise. He's since the crash, he's had tinnitus in his ears. And
fortunately, though, when you say he has problems, it's not intellectual problems or anything like that, or empathy. He's as he always was in that regard. It's more to do with the neural stuff and the functioning, and you know, his sensations in his body.
Yeah,
and
he's
pains.
It's amazing how he's come back. He's always had a great quirky sense of humor, and that's back.
Great,
and he loves music and everything. So,
and they had a little baby during lockdown, did they? Him and
did. Yeah, yeah. They have
lovely.
Lucy. Yeah,
she's with got her brother Manix.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he was in that terrible crash, your mum was ill at the same time, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. So our mother, you know, was really close to Eslin, and, you know, like she saw her practically every day, you know. She would mind her while Vinny was working across the road. You know,
he had a framing business. Yeah.
And so, you know, after the crash, like, our mother was just completely broken by it, you know, completely brokenhearted, and cancer revisited
her. Because Eslin died in the crash, in other words.
Eslin died, yeah. So, you know, cancer came back. That year was just us, you know, we had a couple of different WhatsApp groups in the family, you know, visiting Vinny and a visiting mom. And But, I mean, you know, the whole family really pulled together. We were all, thankfully, WhatsApp was really handy for organising all of this. But, our mother passed away then in January 2018. So it was 2017. It was one of those times, I know, like you said, every family is visited by it.
It was a dark year.
It was a dark year, yeah.
But your dad is, as you say, alive and thriving. I loved it. Was it recently he went to a gig and you went back and drank whiskey with him?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. If Anna's listening now, she'd be wagging her finger.
Her sister. What?
Yeah. What's your dad's name? We'll say hello to him.
Vincent.
Vincent. Yeah.
Yeah. He came down to see us in Glore in Ennis. We had a great night down there, and we drove back afterwards and had a few whiskeys with him.
He was waiting up. He couldn't wait for us to get in. You know, we had to pack up gear and all that. And by the time, you know, Ennis is about 20 minutes drive from Ennis Diamond. And so he drove down, you know. At first he wasn't going to attend, you know, because he wasn't sure if he was up to it. And then we got a call, you know, about an hour before the doors open, saying, "I'm on the way. Put my name on the guest list."
Good man.
Yeah. And yeah, he was waiting up for us when we got back.
Now, listen, you have a number. You're going to play for us now again, but also you have some gigs coming up. There's one in Ballycotton this coming Friday, isn't
there? That's sold out, actually. Okay. There might be, I mean, sometimes people, you know, can't attend, cancel tickets and all that. So it's worth checking. But we were told it was sold out.
And then I think the next night you're in the Royal Spa Theatre in Lisdoon Varna.
Yes, and that's sold out as well.
And the Olympia on the 5th.
The Olympia, yeah, with the full band on December 5th.
And there's just a few tickets available there.
I think there's
there
a few left,
there's, yeah. Yeah, there are tickets available.
Great, so people can get those from the Olympia website. Listen, you're going to play for us again. This is Black and Blue.
Yep. This is a Walls song. This was on the Walls album, and the Stunning have been playing it of late, and it's gone down really well.
Well, listen, Joe and Steve Wall, it's a real pleasure to talk to you both. I wish you both the very best of luck.
Thanks, Maria.
Also, go with Black and Blue.
Where'd you go, my little amore, with your sad Cleopatra eyes? I wish that happiness would melt your strife. I live for you in Campo di Fiore. I know that it's your favorite place. Ordinary people going about their day. Come back from tomorrow, lie down and rest your head. We'll sweep those crazy notions from underneath the bed. See the stars up.
That's it from us for today. The program was produced by Cora Ennis. Damien Chanel was in sound. Sean Marin was our BCO. Thanks for listening. Chat to you next Sunday.